company. That's exactly what Cormac Tagging delivers, with unbeatable customer service every step of the way. Switching is easy. Just give us your herd number and we'll take care of the rest. Order now at cormactagging.ie or call 093 523 85. Cormac Tagging. Committed to quality, driven by service.
Sligo at night. It's vibrant, it's diverse, it's ours. Let's be safe and sound. Whether you're out for dinner, a show, a dance, or just a stroll, we all play a part in creating a safe and enjoyable atmosphere. Let's look out for each other, keep our streets clean, have fun. Let's make Sligo a place where everyone feels welcome and respected. Let's be safe and sound. A message from the Sligo Nighttime Economy Pilot Programme, an initiative funded by the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sports and Media.
There's no time to waste. Start saving big on your energy bills this Black Friday with our best offer of the year. Switch to SSE Airtricity today and save up to €790 on your electricity and gas. Plus, you'll get €150 welcome credit. Don't miss out. This limited time offer ends on December 9th. Switch today at sseairtricity.com/save790. SSE Airtricity. This is Generation Green. EAB €2,583. Rates valid from the 1st of the 7th, 2024. For T's and C's, tariff standing charges, exit fees and savings claims, see sseairtricity.com/save790.
Ocean FM.
The political shootout begins. It's Ocean FM's legendary election count coverage this weekend. Listen to us on FM, online, watch our live stream, get the latest exclusive tally figures and results at your fingertips with our multimedia presentation. We are live from the Sligo Leitrim count at the Clayton Hotel Sligo from 9 a.m. Saturday morning until however long it takes. A coverage of the Donegal constituency count from the Aura Centre Letterkenny, available at the same time on our Donegal frequencies, online and by live.
This is the final whistle on Ocean FM. Tonight, Donegal's Jim McGuinness on the new football rule changes and the return of Michael Murphy. We'll meet the new captains at County Sligo Golf Club for 2025, and it's a husband and wife team. Plus, we've spent some time with the Sligo Rovers Down Syndrome football team, who've been competing at the recent League of Ireland Festival of Football in Dublin. We're on the team bus. Good evening. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan, and if you want to get in touch, the contact numbers are as follows: by WhatsApp or text 083 3500 530. If you prefer email, the address is easy to remember, sport@oceanfm.ie, and you'll get us on Twitter as well, at Ocean FM Sport. Now, the election count coverage on Ocean FM this Saturday means the bulk of our live sport across this coming weekend is moving online. On Saturday, we'll bring you two live GAA commentaries on oceanfm.ie from Tuam Stadium, the men's Connacht Club junior football final between Ballymote of Sligo and Onkaharua of Galway. Mark Irwin and Fintan Kennedy will be on commentary in Tuam. At the same time, we'll also be in Kilcoyne Park in Tubbercurry. That's the new venue for the All-Ireland LGFA junior club football semi-final between Sligo and Connacht champions Strandhill and Mungret St Paul's of Limerick. Calera's home pitch of Ransborough deemed unplayable today on account of all the rain and low temperatures. So Tubbercurry is the venue on Saturday, and that match is live online with Ray Lannan and Aisling Brown behind the microphones. There's also a live stream available of both games this Saturday, courtesy of the GAA and LGFA respectively. And then on Sunday, we'll bring you the men's Connacht senior club football final live from Markovic Park, courtesy of Kilcoyne Construction. That's Culleara Strandhill, the homeland senior football champions, against the Roscommon holders Pádraig Pearses. It throws in on Sunday at Markovic at 1:15, and it's live in full across the Ocean FM sport platforms. Commentary on Sunday from Colin McGee and Eamon O'Hara. The match, incidentally, is also being televised live on TG Cahir this Sunday. Well, it looks like all the Ulster counties, including Donegal, are going to back the new football rule proposals, which will be voted on at Special Congress in Croke Park on Saturday. Whatever gets through Congress this weekend will be in then for a trial period across club and county activity in 2025. Now, you'll know the proposals were trialled at the recent Interpros last month in Croke Park, and the Jim Gavin-led FRC made a couple of small changes to the proposed rules afterwards, with 4 points for a goal and 2 points for a 45 both dropped. Now, we've shared the list of proposed rule changes and motions for Saturday's Special Congress on the Ocean FM X or Twitter feed today if you want to have a look at them in more detail. Jim McGuinness, among the county managers, waiting patiently to see what rules pass the committee room stage on Saturday. The Donegal manager was the special guest at the Donegal Association London annual banquet last weekend at the Hilton Hotel in Wembley. Here he is now in conversation with the Master of Ceremonies on the night, Noel Cunningham, and their chat began about the return of Michael Murphy, who's come out of retirement to wear the county jersey again at the age of 35.
Delighted to have him back. Great, obviously, in terms of what he brings on the pitch, but off the pitch as well. It's going to be a very important part of 2025, and a person that I know very well and understand very well, and an incredibly high football IQ. So yeah, no, absolutely delighted that Michael has made that decision, and look forward to working with him next year.
But Jim, I'm really curious to ask you this question. Last year, you know, you took over the team. You went on to win the Ulster title. You came very close to clinching the All-Ireland. How do you follow that up? Is the expectation this year enormous? And how do you deal with that?
No, I don't think so. I think every season will carry its own sort of pressures. But every game really carries a pressure, you know. When things are going well, things are going well. It only takes one defeat, you know, for things to unravel. But we actually don't look at it that way at all, Noel. You know, we look at every game on its own merits. I suppose the secret is to try and prepare as best you can. And we're trying to get the players to do that, obviously, from a physical point of view and technical point of view. And then from the coach's point of view, obviously, try and leave no stone unturned. And I think if you do that, then you can sleep in your bed at night, you know, because you know that you couldn't have done any more. And I've said many, many times, you know, if we do everything right and we get everything right, all that does is allow us to be in the fight, because obviously Dublin, Kerry, Armagh have just won it, Tyrone have won it in the last couple of years, Galway have been in two out of the last three All-Irelands. So there's massive, massive competition out there at the moment. So for us, we just want to try and be in amongst that and be competitive. And we were competitive last year. And please God, we can push on now.
And are the sporting community fairly generous in their support? I mean, they won't hang you out completely if it doesn't go as well one year as another year.
Well, as my mother would say, there's only 2 foot between a tap on the back and a kick in the arse, and that's the way life is. That's the way football is. But no, we are very, very fortunate in Donegal to have the support that we have, and most of the people in the room tonight would be ticking that box for us. So from my own point of view, I'm delighted to be here personally, and thank everybody really for their support in 24, and hopefully that we can counter it again for 25.
Now, just very briefly, because we have a bit of partying to do here, this is a Donegal knees up. The new rules, how, there's a lot of chit chat here and chit chat there. Tell us a wee bit, is it going to mean a major change?
I think it will. I think it will mean a major change if they do come in. I suppose this time next week, we'll know a lot more, or we'll be in the process of knowing a lot more. And so really, at the moment, as I said to a journalist during the week there, we're in purgatory, you know. We don't know where we are in a lot of the rules. And so I think there's not a coach in the country, you know, that's not waiting hard to understand what we are actually going to be working with in terms of the rules next year, because what gets in and what doesn't get in will have a massive impact on how the game's played, will have a massive impact on fitness levels, I would suggest. And so if all the rules come in for talking sake, I think it'll dramatically change the physical nature of the game and make it much more transitional, which has been missing for the last number of years. So everybody's waiting now, just a week to go. Some people are waiting on Santa. We're waiting on the rules to see what's going to happen. And then obviously as a coach, all you can do is coach to the rules. So we're trying to understand them as quickly as possible and then get our head around, I suppose, how we can try and take advantage of them.
And you don't see that in any way stifling you or other managers' creativity and style and enthusiasm?
No, absolutely not. No, we would always have the opinion, you know, regardless what the rules are, you must coach to the rules. That's the bottom line. I think if the three up does come in, there's the potential for a throwback, maybe 20 years of a throwback. You're going to have players to play off further up the pitch that's going to connect the play from defence to attack. I think you could see maybe a renaissance in number 11s as well. Michael Higgerty, a townie of your own, you know, playing that role, you know, where the ball is handed to that type of player and they make those threaded passes through to the inside line. That type of thing, I think maybe you could see that even in the interprovincials over the course of a weekend, that the number 11 was becoming more important. So all these bits and pieces are, as I say, in the air at the moment, and we're all going to wait now to see how it falls.
And young Padder amongst some of your side, he's had a great year.
Yeah, oh listen, you could name check them all, yeah. Noel, to be honest with you. You know, Kieran Moore was up for Young Player of the Year. We kind of had to ask him to come in last year for the trial process. He wasn't sure if he wanted to or not. So that tells you a bit about his humility,
yes.
and where he's at. But he was absolutely phenomenal for us. And so, yeah, and obviously we'll be welcoming back other players as well as Michael into the fold for 2025 as well. We're excited about that. And listen, we just want to keep trying to build now, keep developing and keep growing as a group. And see where it takes us.
Every year, a kind of a new blank canvas.
It is. But I suppose when you're working with players as well, you want to try and bring in new ideas, yeah. Every year, yeah. As well. It's like anything in life, you know, the same message is there all the time. People go blunt. So it's very important for the players as well that you're bringing in new ideas, looking at new things. I suppose not throwing the baby out with the bathwater and building on the good stuff, but also being open to what can improve us. And that's actually what I love about this time of year. This is, for me, the most enjoyable time of the year because you have a chance to reflect and think about where we're at and what might work moving into the future. Whereas when the season starts, it's chaotic. It's just literally chaotic, and you're chasing your tail most of the time.
Donegal manager Jim McGuinness speaking to Donegal TV and Noel Cunningham in London last Saturday night at the Donegal Association's annual dinner dance in Wembley. Special Congress begins on Saturday morning at Croke Park at 10:30. There are 49 rule motions to get through, so delegates are going to be busy, and we'll keep you in touch with that across the Ocean FM sport platforms during Saturday from Special Congress in Croke Park. Well, they may not have won any trophies this season, but Sligo Rovers Football Club will point to a number of notable highlights on and off the pitch during the 2024 campaign. And chief among them, the establishment of the club's Down Syndrome football team. It was set up and coached by the club's new football and social responsibility officer, Jamie Murphy. And the players recently competed in the League of Ireland Down Syndrome Festival of Football at FAI headquarters in Abbottstown. Donal Ryan was there to watch them in action. He reports now on the new Rovers.
I'm Miguel Hannan.
Tell me about playing for Sligo Rovers.
It's great to be joining the Rovers. It's great fun and meeting my friends.
And you're the goalkeeper?
I am, yes.
Why do you go on goals?
I prefer goals.
What's the training like here?
It's wonderful. It's good to get your abilities and your exercises all in.
I'm Kieran Canning.
And you're here playing for Sligo Rovers tonight?
I am indeed.
And how long are you playing for Sligo Rovers?
2 years, I think.
2 years. Yeah. Do you like it?
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
Tell me what you love about playing for Sligo Rovers.
It's so different.
My name is Kyle.
And you're playing here for Sligo Rovers this evening?
I am, yeah, surely, yeah.
And you enjoy that?
Loving it, yeah.
Tell me what do you enjoy the most about playing for Sligo Rovers?
Sligo Rovers, like, let's go for winning, and sometimes it's bad for losing.
But it teaches a lot about teamwork as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, yeah.
And whereabouts do you play?
Everywhere.
You're a utility man.
I am, yeah. Yeah.
What are the things we always look for in the match? What kind of things when we're playing as a team?
Clubs,
boards.
Rory?
Those are a selection of voices from players who represent the Sligo Rovers Down Syndrome team. The team train every couple of weeks and recently took part in the League of Ireland Down Syndrome Festival of Football at the Sport Ireland campus. Sligo Rovers pride themselves on being a community club, and according to the club's football and social responsibility officer, Jamie Murphy, it's all about integrating as many people into the club as possible.
Basically, we had a bit of a think about what groups we wanted to try and work with and make more a part of the club. So obviously there can be a lot of marginalisation and exclusion in terms of groups and their access to sport and football teams. And I suppose from our perspective, Rovers is a community club. It's fan owned. It's very much about, regardless what your background is in terms of ethnicity or, you know, disability or socioeconomic backgrounds, we wanted to make sure that as many players as possible had the opportunity to play, but also non-playing opportunities. So we started, I suppose, a kind of football for all program. So with groups from some of the rehab care centres, National Learning Network, and as part of that as well, there was a kind of a natural extension to the, I suppose, the Down syndrome players. So we had saw from the FAI that there was plans for a blitz, kind of competitions to happen on a regular basis where League of Ireland clubs would be represented by teams of players with Down syndrome. So we thought this was a great opportunity. You know, it was a way of promoting inclusion within the club, but also it's a great privilege, I suppose, for the players themselves as well, that it's not just that they're coming in for a training session, that, you know, the team is very much a part of the club in the same way that the senior teams, underage teams are, that this is a club team. So that was hugely important to us, that it was meaningful. It wasn't just kind of, I suppose, box ticking, that you know, that they're a genuine part of the club, and that's proven to be the case. I mean, it's very few players, you know, get the chance to represent Rovers, you know, and lots of these players have, you know, grown up being supporters, or the families are supporters, and now they have the opportunity to actually play for the club, and it's a huge privilege and something we've been delighted to be involved with, and it's going from strength to strength. You know, we've got a full squad of players. You know, it's the training is always full every week, and you know, there's lots of fun and, you know, and football and you know, hard tackles and great goals as well, and they're very competitive. You know, they had a great first blitz a few months ago, at the first inaugural blitz, you know. So I mean, the key thing for us though is it's competing in those competitions is fine, and it's you know, everyone enjoys it, but the core thing for us as well is that it's about all the players enjoying themselves and having fun and being happy that they're able to represent Rovers.
Okay, Killian, roll it out again. Come on, Niall.
Kevin, Niall.
Not everyone gets a chance to pull on the bit of red, and while it means a lot to the players to represent their local League of Ireland club, there's an immense sense of pride for their parents too.
It's fantastic, yeah. And it's a great initiative there set up by Sligo Rovers in conjunction with Down Syndrome Ireland. And like, as you can see yourselves, the enjoyment they get from it, and like the camaraderie between them all, and like the excitement when they're taking part in the training sessions even and all that, you know. Like, there's a great bunch here, and like, in fairness to Jamie, he's done great work in getting this off the ground, and like in the space of a few months, it's gained so much more momentum, and you know, I think as time goes on, it'll even become a far bigger kind of a thing that will grow and grow, you know. So I think it's fantastic to see it taken off. And
your son Kyle is here this evening. What does he get out of it, do you think?
Well, Kyle just loves the whole thing of getting out, playing the sport. Meeting his friends, you know, he had some existing friends here, and then he's met some new friends on top of that since he joined, you know, and he just loves the whole thing of getting out and being part of a team, and you know, the excitement of coming to the training sessions.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's a great experience for Cian and all his little teammates. They love coming here, and the respect they have for Jamie and the club, it's unbelievable. It's brilliant for them.
And they must get so much out of it.
Oh, they absolutely love coming down. They are so happy to be here. They're so happy to be amongst each other. They're happy when they see other Sligo Rover teams out, because they're here at matches and they actually get on the pitch here and they get to see everyone training together. It's brilliant.
In October, the team headed off to FAI HQ in Abbottstown to take part in the inaugural League of Ireland Down Syndrome Festival of Football. Teams from all over the country were represented, including Cork City, Dundalk, Derry City, Bohemians and Wexford. There was also a chance for the Rovers players to strut their stuff in front of the Republic of Ireland senior manager, Heimir Hallgrímsson.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Everyone's smiling, and this is how it should be.
Absolutely. And what did you have to say to the Sligo Rovers team when you met them?
It's the best looking team for sure. Best looking team.
The best kid as well, the bit of red. But you can really see how much it means to all the families of the kids that have gathered here today and to all the clubs that are represented too.
Yeah, it's a good initiative from the organisation to do it. And wherever these kids go is always going to be fun. So, yeah, it's good for the families as well. And just to get the movement. For them, especially Down's kids, normally a little bit trouble with their weight. So it's good to do activities like this, and everybody's enjoying. That's the most important.
And in your own role as Ireland manager here as well, you must feel it's important to kind of come down and show a face at these things.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's not only in my position, but you know they should have support from everyone. But I do a lot of work with these kids back home in Iceland, so I'm just enjoying it, really enjoying it.
So, because we get a lot of pressure at the back, rolling out, it's a small pitch.
After a great showing from Sligo Rovers, they went up to collect their medals at the end of the tournament.
Next up, we'll have Sligo Rovers. Congratulations, Sligo Rovers.
And it was clear to see that all involved with the team had a great day out.
It was so good today. We lost our game against, and we won the game, and yeah, we love this appearances. Talk to the parents again, because this is a massive time to be coming, and talk to Dundalk and Finn Hobbs and Derry City, all to send us out in Dublin.
Did you enjoy yourself out there today?
We did, yeah.
And you scored some great goals?
Yeah.
And what have you now around your neck after that?
A medal.
Winning 2-1, you've got 8 minutes to go. Keep playing the way you're playing.
Events like the Down Syndrome Festival of Football show that it's more about the taking part than the winning. And as Sligo Rovers went back down the M4 that evening with the medals in the bag, the bit of red had underlined their status as a team and a club for all.
Sligo Rovers players ending that report by Donal Ryan. That was Donal's final broadcast piece, incidentally, for Ocean FM Sport. He's moving on to Pastures New this week. We wish him all the very best. When we come back, we'll chat with the husband and wife team who've just become the new club captains at County Sligo Golf Club.
The Final Whistle with Austin O'Callaghan.
Robbie Fitzpatrick has just been installed as County Sligo Golf Club's new captain for the 2025 golfing season, and his wife Niamh is the new lady captain at Ross's Point. The husband and wife team have been speaking to Ocean FM at the recent launch of the Golf Ball for 2025, which is going to take place at the Radisson Hotel in February. We'll hear more about that in a couple of moments. But first to the Fitzpatrick's installation as captains of County Sligo. And as Robbie's been explaining, it's not the first time a husband and wife team has worn County Sligo's signature green blazers at the same time.
In 1931, Arthur Jackson Jr. and his wife Bertha were the first husband and wife in the same year. We've had lots of captains, lots of husbands and wives who've been captains, but not necessarily in the same year. So it's only the second time in the history, and 131-year history of County Sligo Golf Club, that we have a husband and wife in the same year.
And was this planned?
No, it wasn't. It's completely two separate committees that decide who incoming captains are. Niamh was asked about a week or so before me. I was obviously aware of that, but it's like it's top secret, so you can't say anything to anyone. So when I was asked, I kind of said, "Oh right, well, let me come back to you because we obviously had to check because it's a whilst it's an amazing to be asked to be captain, a huge honour to be asked to be captain for both of us. There's obviously a lot of work in it. So listen, that conversation was very quick. Niamh just said, well, let's not even question it. We're going to go for it. And probably the best decision the both of us have made since we decided to have kids.
So an easy decision to make, Niamh.
Yeah, it was, to be honest with you. I think we both love the golf club. We're both so involved there already. So it kind of makes sense that we're going to have the busiest year at the same time that we can actually help each other. And we're both really looking forward to the year ahead.
Your whole family are pretty much involved with the golf club, so it's a nice transition here.
Absolutely. In fact, Eddie, our son, was junior boys captain in 2021. My mum was past lady captain and lady president. And Robert's family have a huge tradition in the golf as well, albeit in Strand Hill Golf Club. So, all the family are involved. Maeve is working in the restaurant there, so she'll be busy helping us out, serving us coffee all year, hopefully.
And you're both wearing, Robbie, your green County Sligo captain's jackets, a bit like the Augusta green of the Masters. It's quite an honour to get this gig.
Words can't describe how honoured and privileged, and it's very emotional, to be honest with you as well, to be asked to be captain. As Niamh just alluded to there, my grandfather, Frank Fitzpatrick, came from Belfast to work in Sligo many, many years ago, and indeed was one of the founders of Strand Hill Golf Club, where he then went on to be captain and in later years then president. And then my late father, Eddie Fitzpatrick, who some of your listeners may remember, albeit the older ones. He was captain in 1973 out in Strandhill Golf Club. Now, I hope to have a little bit more success because, sadly, at the age of 42, he passed away when he was captain. So time has taken, but we're hoping to survive the year. We're only day three in, and we're sending us so far it's good. But it's wonderful to be third generation captain of a golf club. That means an awful lot to me and to my family who are spread around the world, yeah, certainly.
And you're captain at a time when there's a lot happening at County Sligo in terms of course renovations, the West of Ireland will be coming again in the new year. There's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, it's a really good time in County Sligo Golf Club. Mackenzie Ebert are making improvements to our course. They're working tirelessly out there at the moment. And also the work from Turfgrass as well is very, very impressive what's going on. The West of Ireland we'll have back along with the G4D event, which proved very successful, Austin, as you and I both know. It's a really exciting time. But what makes our club, in my opinion, is the members. Like, we just have fantastic members. The good wishes that both Niamh and I have received coming up to this week, in as captain on Tuesday, Niamh last night, by the way, which was Thursday, but the good wishes that we've received so far from our membership means an awful lot to us, and we're very excited. It's, as I mentioned before, it really is a huge honour.
Okay. So Niamh, the calendar on the kitchen fridge at home is going to be littered with dates and events and commitments that both of you will have. Will you be kind of ships passing in the night over the next 12 months?
It's certainly going to be very, very busy. We're just eagerly awaiting the Golf Ireland calendar to come out now to block off all those dates. And I'm sure we'll have plenty that we'll be doing together, but plenty will be, as you said, ships in the night passing on the way. But sure, we'll embrace it all and look forward to it.
And I mean, there's a very vibrant golf scene for women's golf right now at County Sligo, from underage right through to adult level.
Absolutely. I mean, we have the girls are just our young girls, Jessica Reynolds, Maeve McLaughlin, are just making fantastic strides at the moment. We've just announced actually our junior girls captain for 2025 will be Molly Spruill, another fantastic golfer. So, you know, we have a fantastic bunch of girls out there who are playing. Then obviously we have our ladies club, which is just so busy. It's so much fun. We have so many exciting competitions we look forward to, with Christmas Rumble now coming up, and teams of three, and Nullagh na Mon, and we've just really lovely social events together, so looking forward to putting those together for the year.
What are you looking forward to most, folks, would you say, with these joint roles?
Oh, that's a really good question. The drive-in
New Year's Day
drive-in.
For people not familiar, tell people what that is.
Yeah, it's a tradition that goes on in most golf clubs where the captains drive off in front of the members. I'm certainly looking forward to that. I just wish my son would stop sending me those YouTube clips of drive-ins that go horribly wrong, where maybe the captain slices one into the crowd. I really wish he'd stop sending me those.
Because no pressure, Dad. Yeah.
Absolutely no pressure. I'm thinking of taking maybe a putter, and maybe because it doesn't really matter. No, that's going to be great fun. That's a family are coming for that now, which is going to be very, very exciting. That's the start of it. Predominantly the teams for me. I really enjoy the teams. The West of Ireland is going to be a huge... I always look forward to it. I'm a huge fan, as you know, Austin. You and I do a lot of work along with Kevin and Shane for the West of Ireland. That's going to be the junior golf program is vibrant, as you mentioned there with Niamh. The boys' junior golf is also very, very strong. Everything really to open week, the first week of August is always a party atmosphere. It's always excellent. Fair to say, Austin, every day really, you know.
And will it get competitive between the two of you, do you think, Niamh? Will you compare notes during the year?
Well, I'm just hoping to get my drive off down the middle of the fairway. Whether it goes, whether it goes, how far it goes, I don't know. But that's my only concern on New Year's Day. No, I don't think it will get competitive. To be honest with you, I think we'll be a great support to each other, and we'll help each other along the way throughout the year.
And the social part of the golf club is key, which ties in nicely with what you're launching this week. We're here in the Radisson Hotel for the launch of County Sligo Golf Club Golf Ball.
Yeah, it's now, whilst it's the County Sligo Golf Club, it's called the Golf Ball. It's not just for golfers, it's not just for members of County Sligo Golf Club, albeit there'll be a large group of our members will attend, but it's for everybody. And just maybe to set the kind of the social tone off for the year, it's on the 15th of February here at 7:30 start in the Radisson Hotel. Ties in nicely with Valentine's weekend, for the simple reason that all any monies raised on the evening will go to the cardiac services at Sligo University Hospital, which ties in nicely with Valentine's weekend. That's going to be an amazing night. Niamh will tell you a little bit more about it in a moment. But it's a big year next year for the Sligo Academy of Music. Their jazz orchestra would be welcoming everybody here. About 40 piece jazz orchestra with bubbles and that's champagne, not anything else. Then we're going to have a gala dinner, which is going to be amazing. And then for me, we had this in 2019 before, Austin, a 60-piece live orchestra. It was absolutely amazing. The everybody got dressed up in their finery, and the ladies looked amazing, absolutely amazing. The men looked very handsome in their black tie. And then, of course, we have music then to Sinead Conway and her band after that. So if you like dancing, if you like having a good time, a party atmosphere, this is certainly going to be one of the major social events for all of Sligo for 2025. And Niamh will tell you a bit more about the music, who can explain it much more than I can.
Yeah, Niamh, apart from golf, music is obviously your passion. So tell us a bit about the Sligo Youth Jazz Orchestra.
Well, we're actually celebrating a big year in the Sligo Academy of Music this year. We're celebrating 25 years in operation. So for us, we're really looking forward to kick-starting our celebrations for the year with this ball. So we have four orchestras actually in the school, but two of them will be performing here on the night. So our jazz orchestra will be playing for the reception. So as people are having their welcome drinks, the jazz orchestra will be entertaining everybody there. And then the Sinfonietta are already rehearsing away their music for the waltzing going through lots of great favourite Strauss waltzes like the Blue Danube and the Radetzky March and lots of music that people will recognise and know. And it's lovely to introduce that to a whole new generation of students as well.
Hello, my name is Leo Tarrant and I'm a member of the Sligo Academy of Music Sinfonietta, and I'm a member of their jazz orchestra as well, and I play the violin. And I'll be playing violin on the night.
But you're holding at the moment?
I'm holding a trumpet at the moment, and I play the trumpet in their jazz orchestra, and I've really good fun with that as well.
What's your favourite instrument?
Oh, that's a hard one now. I'd say it depends on what music I'm playing. If I'm playing more classical, more waltz stuff that we'll be playing on this night, I'd prefer playing the violin. If it's more fun, kind of like jazz and like different styles, I prefer playing the trumpet.
And do you enjoy the orchestra environment?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a it's a great idea set up by Niamh, because it gets us to play together as a group, and it's a totally different experience than playing by yourself, and it's just it's more fun.
What's the big difference? I mean, obviously you're not on your own, but yeah. Is it safety in numbers, or can you be? What do you like about it?
Yeah, I like the the collaborative, like you're not relying, you're not doing everything by yourself. You're letting other people do their parts, and it all comes together as a whole. I like that bit of it.
I'm Dr. Dermot Hughes, a consultant cardiologist in Sligo University Hospital. Delighted to be here at this launch of the charity event. This money make a huge difference to the cardiology department. We have it earmarked to go towards a new sterilizer for our echo probes, specifically our transesophageal echo probes. That's the more detailed scan that we take when the probe goes down the food pipe. And currently we are using rubber coverings to ensure kind of sterilization, and it's obviously uncomfortable for the patient. And so kind of an improvement would be to get a sterilizer machine that we could do away with these probes, covers, and sterilize the probe in between each patient. So, you know, I think when you look at the health system and the budget, you can think, you know, can you really make a difference at a local level? But I think you can when it comes to like patient comfort, or making kind of small changes like this can make a big difference to a patient coming for this test.
Dr. Dermot Hughes, consultant cardiologist at Sligo University Hospital. Proceeds from the golf ball will go towards cardiac services at the hospital. And before that, you heard Leo Tarrant from Sligo Youth Jazz Orchestra and the Sligo Academy of Music. And at the beginning, the new club captains at County Sligo Golf Club, Robbie and Denise Fitzpatrick, speaking to us about their new roles for the year ahead and the golf ball, which comes to the Radisson Hotel on Saturday, the 15th of February, black tie event, open to non-members as well, and tickets available directly from County Sligo Golf Club. Finally tonight, Sligo's Roddy Gaynor has been inducted into the Pittsburgh State University's Hall of Fame. He earned his place for his achievements as a three-time All-American middle-distance track athlete in the 1980s. Gaynor's best time for the 800 metres, 1 minute 48, still ranks very highly in Ireland. He has 7 national titles over the 800 metre distance, including 2 at senior level. Roddy's been talking to our reporter Sean McLaughlin about his recent Hall of Fame award induction stateside.
Hello, it's fantastic, Sean. You know, it's just incredible to get an honour at this stage of my life, you know, in terms of achievements that happened, you know, when I was a young man in the 1980s. But America and the U.S. universities take this stuff very seriously. So when you're selected, it's a big deal. And I was very honored to be chosen. That's the truth. You know, it seems like a long time ago since I started my running career and moved to America. So to be getting the recognition now was terrific indeed.
You mentioned there that you were there in the early 1980s. How common was it for athletes from Ireland to be over in the States during the 1980s?
You know, it was a route for career development that grew very significantly in the 1980s. You may recall that some of our earliest people, like Ronnie Delaney, and then guys like Eamon Coughlin and John Tracy, they were the real trailblazers of going to the US and getting the success. And you know, when you grew up in Ireland and you were breaking through in athletics, it really was a very appealing thing. And so, yeah, I mean, once I kind of had got the breakthrough in athletics here in Ireland at secondary school, and I was winning kind of national schools championships in Ireland, I really wanted to do this, you know. So it became very popular in the 1980s and quite a lot of athletes. There's still a lot of Irish athletes who go over there. But now we have routes for our younger athletes to stay home in Ireland or to make different choices. But it was a very popular choice back then.
What was it like adapting to a different country at that time? I'd imagine it was a bit of a culture shock.
Yeah, it was for sure. The big thing was dealing with the heat and the humidity. You know, you come away from the Irish temperate climate in summer, and you're suddenly getting hit with temperatures that are, you know, nearly 40 degrees and very high humidity, and you basically just die in training for the first month until you adjust, and hopefully the temperatures start setting down a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I went over there. I mean, I initially went over to the University of Arkansas, and I was there for just about a year. But then I transferred to Pittsburgh State University, which is in Kansas, and that was really where I got the best part of my success. I got a great relationship going with the head coach there, a man called David Sindrum. But I was in a place where, you know, so far from home, and it's not like nowadays where there's social media or the internet or no email back at the time. So while you were very much dependent on writing letters and phone calls, if you could afford them, to actually make the communication back home. So it was quite a culture shock, but I was very fortunate in that a couple of the guys who were on the athletics club team were from the city of Pittsburgh, and I got very closely involved with a friendship group of theirs, and we now remain friends 40 years later, which is probably the best part of all this thing that has happened to me in terms of the induction.
Obviously the induction, congratulations on that again. It must be really vindicating to get that honour from Pittsburgh State University.
Well, it is. They, as I said, I think I said earlier, they take it very serious. And on this occasion, there was American football players coming into the Hall of Fame. There was baseball, a basketballer, and another track athlete. And like one of the guys who was brought in on the American football side, he only stopped his NFL career last year. So, you know, you were in pretty decent company. He was very much the big attraction on this particular occasion. But I was chuffed, that's the truth, because, you know, when I look at the list of athletes over the years, it's not as common as some of the other American-based sports. So it was a good acknowledgement of what I achieved. The reason I got it was because I was 3-time All-American. So All-American is a top 5 finish at their national championships. So I was 3rd on one occasion and 4th on 2 other occasions, competing for the university indoors. And, you know, so took their time, but they got there in the end and made the acknowledgement to me.
Better late than never. Roddy Gaynor on his induction into the Pittsburgh State University's Hall of Fame in the United States. He was talking to Sean McLaughlin. A reminder, our live GAA coverage this weekend on account of the election count coverage moves online. That's Ballymote's Connacht Club final on Saturday, Killara Strand Hill's All-Ireland Women's Junior Club semi-final on Saturday, and the Connacht Senior Men's Club decider on Sunday at Markovic Park between Killara Strand Hill and Pádraig Pearse's of Roscommon. A reminder too that this programme is available as a podcast each week on oceanfm.ie and wherever you get your pods. Simply search for Ocean FM Sport or The Final Whistle to find it. There's no Final Whistle next Thursday. We're back in 2 weeks. Same time, same place.